So commencing our reading from Scripture, then from Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through to 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. And then we turn to James chapter 3, reading the first 12 verses. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water.
Our text verse is verse 10 from James 3. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. And our topic this evening is taming the tongue. Taming the tongue. Beloved, as you are aware, we are busy with a series of sermons about the things the Lord hates, as we are taught in Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19. Last week, Psalm 131, haughty eyes should be directed to the Lord only. This week, a lying tongue. Next week, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that desires wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies. And one who sows discord among brothers. This evening, we will be busy with the tongue, and specifically the lying tongue. The tongue and the power of speech is one of the most extraordinary powers God has given us. Like James said, we can praise God, confess his name, teach his word with the tongue. But with the tongue, we can also tell lies, ruin a reputation, or break someone's heart. The ability to tell the truth and to use our tongues to praise the Lord is one of the most powerful ways we can influence others. Yet so often, we take this ability for granted. Our tongues or words have been responsible for wars, also ending wars and keeping peace. We can think of the history of Hitler, the great speeches he wrote, great orator, also George Bush, 9/11, tense anticipation of how the world is waiting for the war between Russia and Ukraine to end. And we also know that a war can be started with China over their aggressive imperialism of the South China Sea and claims that Taiwan belongs to them, or peace can be kept. Words unite people or divide people through the world. That's not only people, that's churches as well, according to our confession. If we confess that the Lord is God, confess what we do about God's word and who God is, they are our brothers and sisters. But it can also sow division, discord, something that the Lord hates. Words determine a person's future in life. Words will affect other people's attitudes, what they think about you, emotions, and how we feel about that person. A soft word or a hard word that's directed to us. And so our text in James addresses the issue of the uncontrolled words of the tongue and also the lying tongue. And we see this dilemma of words every day in our lives. We see this in our marriages, our relationship with our children. We hear people say things throughout our days, and our responses and perceptions are formed through the tongue. We also listen to the radio, and the power of words influences us. We listen to music, we watch TV, and we also can just think of the political ads we have endured over the last few months because of the election. And we know that words influence others. Or the political campaigns would not have spent millions of dollars to put him on the air. The power of words creates a positive picture or negative picture of your opponent. And again, relationships have been broken by the tongue. And relationships have also been started with the sweet words and promises in your lover's ear. There's a famous myth that the tongue is the body's strongest muscle. It is not by any definition of strength. But that should not make the tongue any less impressive. The tongue, and that's through research that I've done, can move in nearly every direction. It can expand, it can compress. It displays a degree of articulation. And such control is allowed to manipulate our food and speech, especially the English language, to breathe. You can form sounds with your tongue, or you can softly whisper. And as I have already mentioned, speech has a powerful impact on our mind. So is the preaching. Romans 10, the entire mental process. And James described it that a tongue has tremendous power. It can perplex your mind. It can break your heart. Then Lord's Day 40, it can even kill you. It can also give life and encouragement, help you to reach your goal. And all these are affected by the spoken words. By using encouraging words, it's possible to transform the entire mind of an individual. With the tongue, we worship the Lord. We confess the Lord's greatness with the tongue. But unfortunately, we also curse with the tongue, lie to people made in God's likeness and image. And we should think of our daily conversations. And James warned about this. Jokes, immorality, sexual promiscuity of this world. And if you think of the internet, the powerful form of communication and servant of the tongue, that affects people's thinking now and actions. so that they behave like that. But this is nothing new. This is the tongue. We should also think of the gossip and the sharp tongue, or the criticizing tongue, that is so destructive. That words addressed to another immediately destroy relationships built over a lifetime. This small member of the body, James says, can do great things. This small part of the body can control a person's entire life. James mentions several things about the tongue in verse 5. He says the tongue is a fire. Fires are uncontrollable. Just think of the fires we had here in 2020. And the tongue is almost an unruly like that too. He says the tongue is a word of evil among the parts of the body. A tongue can corrupt a whole person. It can change to set a whole course of a person's life on fire. And it's set on fire by hell. Now, Bible reading in James is clear. Verse 9, that people are made in the likeness of God. People, and not those that are the closest to us, but all people. And James points out with this the cultural mandate, the command given to Adam and Eve in Genesis 1, verse 28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. We were created in God's likeness. This means that we are God's representative, to serve God, to look after the interest of God, that we exist for a purpose, and that is to serve God and our neighbor, and that we should live to the honor and to the glory of the Lord. This is why we were created. It's our purpose. But with the tongue, we can belittle. We can gossip according to our confession. We can insult. We can kill my neighbor. And with this, you kill God's representative and oppose yourself to the Lord himself. This is the lying tongue. We confess in Lord's Day 40, what's God's will for you in the sixth commandment? I'm not to belittle, insult, hate, or kill my neighbor, not by my thoughts, my words, my look or gesture, and certainly not by actual deeds. And I'm not to be party to this and others. Rather, I am to put away all desire for revenge. If we belittle, insult our neighbors, gossip about our neighbors, even give them a hard word and lie to them, we do this all to God's representative. And so if there's not anything good we can say of one another, we should rather be silent, because it's our brother and sister. And the judgment is not for us. Do we realize the fall of the tongue? And I want us to focus on the lying tongue this evening. The lying tongue that our passage in Proverbs mentioned as something the Lord hates. People lie for their own benefit, sometimes because they are afraid of persecution, sometimes just for the sake of it, and sometimes they even swear in God's name that is the truth. It all starts with Satan, the father of lies, John 8 verse 44. And then we know that we need to speak the truth as children of God. Truth is the central part of a Christian's faith. We are to be truth seekers, truth tellers, and truth believers. As Christians, we are called to follow Jesus, who is described as the way, the truth, and the life, John 14 verse 6. And truth is central in following God. We need to follow the way, the truth. And if truth is a fundamental part of who God is, it follows that lying is naturally something that he is against. God desires us to see the world. And he doesn't want us to get trapped by wrong thinking and the brokenness that comes when falsehood enter our relationships with him and our neighbor. And so lies deceive many people. Sometimes, and it's sad, untruths are even preached from the pulpit. We read in verse 1 of our Bible reading in James 3, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." And our text does not tell us to not preach the gospel. We must. It's our mission, the calling of every believer. But it reminds us that we have to give account of God's word, that God gave us tongues to preach the gospel, and that God will hold us accountable, because teachers, pastors, politicians will greatly influence our lives. But it's also to have respect and knowledge for the word of God and our confessions of truth, also called the confessions of unity. And then also, there's the silent tongue that also does just as much damage as the lying tongue. The lying tongue and silent tongue are brothers and sisters of one another, or twins of one another, where God's name is abused, where there is lies, and we remain silent. So much damage is done to our neighbor. That's similar to lying. Love, Christ should be proclaimed. And our brother and sister who blaspheme God, who lies, his name should be shown God's grace upon God, God's grace revealed in Jesus. And that God explicitly prohibits in his law to use his name in vain, also to lie. And sin with the tongue indicates that our relationship with the Lord is not right. We cannot praise the Lord, James said, and then dishonor God's name the rest of the time. And therefore, lying tongues damage our community and the church. In 1 Peter 4, verse 11, we read, "Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." That's our tongue and what our tongue should do. We need the right perspective about our tongue and consider the harm our tongues can do. And therefore, James is quite strong with the congregation. He admonishes the congregation. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. But what can we do to control our tongues? And then James gives a solution. And he tells us about a bit in a horse's mouth to control a horse. And tells us that we need such a bit as well. And we were given a bit, something that can control our tongue. And that's the word of God and God's Spirit himself. Control of the tongue indicates a change of heart and a lot of praying. And our heart can only be changed by the Holy Spirit and the word of God's truth in our life. The Holy Spirit who sanctifies us daily in the salvation of Jesus Christ, so that the tongue is no longer a slave of our nature. Now, lying tongues can become glorifying tongues who serve God and our neighbor. And we should follow Christ's example as described in 1 Peter 2, verse 21 to 23. "For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus never told a lie. Jesus never cursed these persecutors. Not even in his trial where he stood before the worldly judge, Pontius Pilate. Yes, it is, as you say, was his response when truth was required, whether he was the king of the Jews, whether he was the king of kings. And here's our example, the example that we need to follow. And James is so clear. Let us repent. Let us repent of our lying tongues, our silent tongues, our tongues that so easily critique, our tongues that do not look at ourselves, our tongues who speak before we think. And let us walk in God's truth. Let us walk in Jesus. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. And the only worthy response to Jesus as our Savior is to submit to Jesus, our Lord. According to His Word and Spirit is the truth of our life. This means that God's demands become an expectation for which we are willing to submit. And our tongues will be glorifying the Lord. God has all the right to rule over us, over our priorities, our opinions, our choices, our desires, and most above all, our tongues. And when we embrace Christ as the only way, the truth, and life, we live according to God's Spirit. And this is the meaning of believers who willingly submit themselves under the yoke of Jesus. Then they have a bit in their mouths. That bit is our Lord Jesus Christ. And they will receive a reward, an eternal reward of peace and life. And Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the narrow path, the better way, the only truth. Jesus is the way of true peace, true love, and true freedom from the slavery of the tongue, our sinful desires, our lying tongues. And then we can glorify the Lord with our tongues and do His will alone. Lastly, what should we then do as God's people? Continue to acknowledge the Lord. Continue to acknowledge the Lord in everything you do and say. Continue to acknowledge the Lord in front of your neighbor who blaspheme God. Continue to acknowledge the Lord and be an example as Jesus was. And if a harsh word is spoken to you, control your tongue. Control your tongue as husband. Control your tongue as wife. Control your tongue as child, as parent. Because the Lord has authority over your life and tongue. And follow Jesus in this as the only truth. Hold on to Jesus as your Lord, His Word, nothing else. And do not be deceived by the lies of the devil and the world. But let us hold on to Jesus. Let us comfort with our tongues. Let us admonish with our tongues as we should. But let us do this in love. Let us hold on to Jesus as the only way and truth. Be obedient as His church who lives in Jesus, through His Spirit, and hold Jesus as the only way and all obedience to His Word. And let us our confessions, our tongues, always serve the Lord. Let us be God's church who confess Jesus as the only Lord and King with our tongues. He has authority over our lives. He has authority over our tongues. And when we hold on to this truth, we will not be misled or fear the future or the signs of times, but know that our only comfort in life and death is that I belong to Jesus. Let us confess this with our tongues. To God, all the glory. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You and we glorify Your name with our tongues. We worship you, sing you praises to you. Lord, but we also know, and we stand guilty before you, that our tongues have done terrible things. Sometimes our tongues is uncontrollable. Father, we think of the harsh words we said in jest to our neighbor. We think of the hurt and the times we belittle those you have made according to your likeness. And we come to you, Lord, and we repent of this. And we ask you that you will forgive us because of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. Father, we want our tongues to be in your service, to worship you. But we know our brokenness, our sins, and we know that we sometimes lie. Let us hold on to the truth. Let your Spirit control everything we say. Let us act in love to one another. Lead us in this love as you has loved us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.